yes, you have, girl. Don't you know you gotta tell the truth, yeah. Baby, why don't you tell me the truth now? You know you got me doing everything crazy that you want me to do. Yes, you have, yeah. Watch it.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Thomas Ferguson, who's a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, a member of the advisory board of George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking, and a contributing editor to The Nation. He is the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems, and has an article at Alternet, Revealed, Key Files on Big Ticket Political Donations Vanish at Federal Elections Commission. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Ferguson.
Hi there, Ian.
And just as yesterday in the Senate, the Disclose Act failed. Not that that was a surprise, but of course it would have been an attempt. It wasn't an early attempt after Citizens United was passed to close these massive loopholes allowing tons of money to pour into the electoral system. It was shut down back then, and then the Senate tried again, I think probably for purposes of political posturing, but the Republicans are resolute and they shot it down. Now you have revealed and uncovered that the Federal Elections Commission, who have oversight over the donations that go into political campaigns, have deliberately destroyed files. Is that, am I hearing that correctly?
Well, deliberately, who knows? They're certainly deleted from their files. Now, I need to begin. There's a few updates. It's been an exciting day. The first thing I should note is, you know, I didn't do the piece by myself. My colleague Paul Jorgensen at the SAFRA Center at Harvard, and Ji Chen, the university statistician at the University of Massachusetts in Boston with me, co-authored it. And the other thing is, of course, we had to put out a second piece today because the FAC seemed like wasn't quite clear. It's a funny way stuff surfaces. Reporters in the middle of the morning somehow suddenly said, well, you know, you can find the stuff that we said wasn't there very easily. Now, I will tell you that you couldn't find it very easily a few days ago. But I finally, with my colleagues, put out a plain statement that said, look, you know, we're not going to stand for people telling us that everything is fine with this system. We have the earlier data downloads, the bulk downloads that the FEC uses. That's the thing that becomes the real record of electoral contributions. That's the stuff that the Center for Responsive Politics and other organizations use as the basis for their presentations of data. We said, we've got the original downloads, the January download that had all these contributions in it. They are missing from the July downloads. And we started to put them up. We said bluntly that we are going to post them all, and anybody can check for themselves. Now, late this evening, the FEC issued a statement claiming, well, yes, in fact, through a technical glitch, those downloads were, in fact, bad. But they know. These are the people who didn't know, I presume, until today, that they had a serious problem with their downloads, are nevertheless confident that the information was really always in their system. You know, all I can say is it's a wonderful coincidence that the glitch has just happened to hit the politically sensitive items like the so-called 501c4s, that is to say the charities and public interest organizations that were precisely the object of yesterday's vote in the Senate, that is to say to actually make them disclose. We're talking about here so-called dark money. I'm not going to beat up the FEC any more than that, but the data downloads were wrong, and they've now conceded it. That was the claim in our article. We said if you went onto their site, there was at least one way that you could find them, which is in their original records as they were filed, and we said this plain as day. We were right, and they are conceding it.
So, but my understanding is that they have not made this thing user-friendly at all. that most regular people can't even access these files, and that the Center for Responsible Politics have to dedicate a lot of people and effort to deciphering these files, right? Is that?
Yes, that I regret to say that has been true for many years. Now, you might well ask, why aren't your tax dollars used to put, if they're going to publish this stuff, why can't you easily access it? Why not just put it in an Excel file that people can use? Now, there is a problem when you do the sort of big data sets. Excel's too small, but it just won't take a data set that big. But, you know, you can use SPSS, which, while I understand for most of your users, Excel's the only thing they know. Lots of people know SPSS. If you've gone through a university course in economics or some of the social sciences, you probably had some introduction to it. But this is a serious problem. I'm not a big fan of this development. And it was precisely, you know, my colleagues and I suspicion that there might be misinterpretations, because real data is messy. We didn't begin by thinking there was a problem with the FCC. We started figuring, look, we know that real data is messy, so there may be some questions of interpretation, particularly because of the complex structure of these files. And, you know, we've found a lot of new things, and we've used modern database management technology, I think, for the first time. We got a lot of stuff that nobody else has, including millions of dollars in new contributions that turn out to be in there. But we also came across these deletions. And the other thing one can mention in this context is if you call the FEC, which we did ring them up earlier in the week, and started in by asking a question on to explain their interpretation of their rulings on whether or not charities had to disclose, because it's a pretty peculiar history. We were immediately told by their press person they can't talk. You should call a non-profit. You know, they actually told us to go to the Center for Responsive Politics. Well, I've known people there for ages, so I did call them, but. I mean, you know, it's time to, you know, for the FEC to talk on the record to the press, besides the commissioners. I've heard, I can't vouch for this myself, the press people are actually under instructions. The only people who can talk on the record are the commissioners, so they can clarify that. But the whole, we've known for ages the FEC is paralyzed as a regulator. It's clear now, I think, that there's some problems with the mere recording of the data. Those need to be cleaned up.
So Thomas Ferguson, again, the professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, member of the advisory board of George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor to The Nation. And he's the author, along with Paul Jorgensen and Ji Chen, of Revealed: Key Files on Big Ticket Political Donations Vanish at Federal Elections Commission at Alternet. Now, the commissioners are totally polarized, right? They're in a standoff. Mitch McConnell put a Republican in there whose job was to absolutely eviscerate the FEC.
Well, yeah, he's usually credited with designing a piece of legislation that forced the general counsel, Larry Noble, to quit. And there's not much doubt that McConnell has a big interest in how the Republicans on that commission behave. They'll have to talk for themselves. But they certainly have a lot of 3-3 votes. You know, I mean, absolutely no question. They're polarized. You know, my take is, and it's past time. Campaign finance reformers are rightfully concerned with the Supreme Court. But, you know, if you put the FEC into a normal civil service operation, instead of being, as it is, uniquely under the thumb of congressional leadership, I think you could do a great deal right there to sort of improve disclosure. It's become ridiculous.
Well, but the Congress, you know, they've been fighting along with the banking lobby to kill off Dodd-Frank. Because it does work. These commissions don't work. The Commodities Futures and Trading Commission is another example. where...
Well, careful. I mean, that's a mixed case. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission didn't work well a few years ago.
Right.
It did, however, begin the investigation that led to LIBORs. And I think Gensler's done a fairly good job there, though they've got some problems in explaining the deal on the Peregrine bankruptcy and the MF Global there. But
they sat on their hands while billions of dollars were stolen from the American consumer at the gas pump.
Absolutely. No, that's not Gensler.
Not Gensler, I understand. But I'm saying that that's the kind of mechanism that the Republicans prefer. They want to have a commission as opposed to something with real teeth, that they can stack it so that it gets paralyzed. And that's clearly the case with the FEC, isn't it? I mean, it's...
Well, I think you could set it up like the National Labor Relations Board. That's maybe not a wonderful example because that is not paralyzed, but it is... Republicans have tried to paralyze it. Let's say the Federal Reserve Board, which another not perfect regulatory vehicle, but there's not much doubt they don't just do what congressmen and women want. And I do think that you can structure these organizations. In general, as you perhaps remember, we've talked about this before, I think the whole structure of regulation in the United States needs deep reforms, and they've got to get the capture by the affected interests out. But you know, I think our institutional knowledge suggests that you could do better jobs and that you're not stuck forever with a completely corrupt show. Though I would add that you have to have a much more active press. I was close enough to some of the Dodd-Frank stuff to be... I could see the way that congressional behavior would change as the press would actually begin to get near what they are doing. There's no substitute for an active press there, and that's, of course, another problem.
Well, just going back to the deletions by the FEC and this mysterious disappearance of some of the most critical files, particularly those pertaining to dark money, my understanding is from your investigations that, for example, people like Harold Simmons, who's one of the biggest super PAC donors to Mitt Romney, his contributions, and he, of course, is famous for the Swift Boat campaign against Kerry, and for financing television ads linking Obama to the Weather Underground guy. And you've got
that contribution that went missing, and that's specifically that one. That was a little under $3 million in 2008.
And that's just disappeared from the records.
Yeah.
And John Templeton.
Not in the download, and the FEC is effectively conceding that now.
And you've got.
Download didn't work.
And you've got John Templeton, and also this guy, Foster Freeze, who gave a lot of money to.
John Templeton Jr. Yeah.
Yeah. And they and their contributions have disappeared, too.
They were out of there. Yep. They absolutely.
So my understanding is, and we've only got a couple of minutes left. My understanding is that there's no scrutiny now on the 501c4s that are being used, and we don't know whether corporate America is using these because they don't obviously want to give money publicly because they'll offend half of their customers. So,
well, what happened was this: in 2007, the FEC decided that. That people contributing to those type of organizations did not need to disclose unless the money that they gave was specifically virtually earmarked. It's become known as the earmark test, though the word's not used in the original ruling, was earmarked for a specific ad. You know, that's crazy. I mean, what happens is everybody then just says, we're giving the money for the general purposes of the organization, and you know, then it pours out the ads. That's what they did. It's a crazy ruling, and I would note that that was a crazy ruling not from the Supreme Court. That was the FEC. I mean, you could change that ruling tomorrow.
Well, that we'll have to wait till after the elections to see whether that's possible.
Yeah.
I thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Ian.
And we'll stay in touch on this one. There's obviously more coming.
I think, however, this particular episode is over. We were correct in claiming that the stuff was not in the bulk downloads.
Again, I'm speaking with Thomas Ferguson, who is a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He's a member of the advisory board for George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor at The Nation. He's the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. And he has an article at AlterNet, Revealed, Key Files on Big-Ticket Political Donations Vanish at Federal Election Commission. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Brooke Peterson. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.